Session 144, April 7, 1965. The Early Sessions, Volume 3. Good evening. Rob, good evening, Seth. Seth, may I wish you all a pleasant evening, and I hereby acknowledge the presence of our guest. There will be more later to follow concerning the predicament in which you found yourself, Joseph. However, we will save it for another time. The information which Rupert learned this evening is correct in essence, and you will see that the data I gave you many sessions back is coming to pass. I have told you that action itself cannot deny itself. An action cannot be recalled, that is, called back out of existence. Once an action has begun, it will attempt completion. An action may be recalled in terms of memory, but it cannot be taken back or denied or undone. Your idea of consequences is derived from this fact. Nevertheless, your idea of consequences takes into consideration only one small element of any given action. You perceive, in other words, only that part of an action which is projected into your own physical field, and this element you call the natural consequence of the original act. You perceive, however, but one flicker, one small dimension of any given action as a rule. As in the case of your own illness, Joseph, you perceived the physical effect of the mental action, which was but a small portion of the event. The entity name of our visitor is Marleno. We find in the present personality knots, whereby action is not allowed freedom, particularly in terms of expansion. There is strong, concentrated energy turned inward, but it is not turned inward far enough to be effective. It is turned inward mainly in terms of the ego. There is awareness here of the inner self, but the main energy is knotted into tensions and exhaustions. At the same time, the personality does not refresh its energies. If the energies of the personality were turned further inward, or on the other hand, turned further outward toward the outside world, there would be an improvement in terms of additional recharged energy. The knot, or the main concentration of focus, in ego concern, prevents true refreshment, either through the inner self or from the outer world. The knot of energies is indeed caused by fear, and it can be dissolved. The knotted energies amount to frozen immobility, where nothing is lost, but neither is anything gained. The situation here can be eased, and it is within the ability of the present personality to do so. There is an inner generosity and a psychic, if you will forgive the word sensitivity, that will be of great benefit to the personality. There is also, and I believe always has been, the desire on part of the personality to untie or dissolve this knot of immobilized energy. At one time, the personality was involved with very early paper manufacturing in, I believe, Belgium. The personality was then a male. The personality has always been involved with communication in one form or another in various lives. Until this life, the communications involved have been in outward manifestation. This time, there is on the part of the personality an awareness of inner realities, of which the personality was not before concerned with. There is also a bewilderment, since in the past communication was easy. Now, there is awareness of that which is not easy to communicate. There is now an earnest desire to travel inward, but in the past the personality was involved with outward communication. The personality will always have communication as a main aspect. Nevertheless, this life begins a new phase, where the communication involved will be, indeed, of a different variety. The knot of energy, among other things, quite a few other things, is caused by the temporary inability to change the focus of interest from outward to inward methods of communication. I am not suggesting here that this individual turn all focus away from the outer world. Far from it. I am saying that a release is necessary, and then a balance will be maintained. In the past lives, again, desire for communication was strong. It is strong now. However, it is as if the personality stands before another door, where the abilities for communication can turn the knob, but he will not turn the knob. The personality stands in an anteroom, with all its knotted energies, in indecision, and will not open the door leading inward, and will not turn in the other direction, in the direction from which he has come, to the door that leads outward. It is the indecision here that is important. Were the personality content between the two doors, there would for the present be little problems. I am not saying that the individual is ready to plunge headlong into a world of energetic psychic endeavor at this time, either. I am merely saying that the personality only now is discovering the inner reality of which so many are ignorant. I suggest your break. Rob notes, break at 9:34. Jane was disassociated as usual. Lorraine told us that her first name was Meredith, and that her mother, in naming her Meredith Lorraine, intended to call her Mary Lou, but never did so. There is a similarity here to the entity name Marleno. Lorraine thought the last sentence of the monologue was significant to her. She confirmed that she has been interested in communication and related work. One of her past jobs involved writing copy for a radio station. Jane resumed in a slower manner and somewhat deeper voice, 9:45. Seth. There was a village in the southern part of France, 12:30. The personality was a primitive mason. A crib turns over, a child is killed, 1645, Belgium. The personality died in infancy. Later, the personality returns to Belgium after a lapse of 15 years. Also, a drummer boy in the Civil War. There has been trouble with a hand, also an ear, at times a throat difficulty. After the session, Lorraine told us that she has had no throat, ear, or hand difficulty. In general, in the present, the personality should relate firmly with outer reality and also comes to grips with the whole self. There should be moderation, but a moderation that allows for spontaneity and a disciplined program of inner evaluations. The personality has been twice a man, once a woman, and once a female child who did not reach adulthood. The name Kronsky was a family name at one time. Rob notes, again, Seth spelled out the name. Lorraine said it had no meaning to her. Seth, now action is something like a mirror which reflects itself. In one action, basically, we can see all actions, and through one action we can reach the reality of all actions. The apparent dimensions within action is caused by the separation of which we spoke. When action attempts to step aside from itself, dreams are as much action as the movement of a muscle, and the movement of a muscle is indeed as sleep-like as any dream. We are all within action. We are of it. To be outside of it is impossible. Choice, however, is limitless within it. In whichever direction we focus our abilities and energies, we seem to see new action. But it is merely our focus which has changed, and in changing has formed new action. For the benefit of our visitor, let me say that action is the vitality of the universe from which all realities spring. This will make our discussion simpler. Again, no action will be withdrawn. Nothing is motionless. Therefore, when our visitor hesitates between his two doors, he is not motionless, but uses as much energy in indecision as should be expended in purposeful direction. Action cannot be dammed up, for it becomes explosive. There are many balances to be maintained. The dream world of which we have spoken so often is also action, and as such, it affects all other action. It is not apart from your so-called physical universe, for the dream universe, through its connection with the inner self, also helps to construct physical matter, and this is no trifling matter. It matters more than you know. And I will tell you what the matter is. How do you like that play on words, Joseph? Rob notes, Jane gestured and smiled broadly, turning her head toward me even though her eyes remained closed. It's beautiful. Rob says. Seth, I suspect some hint of sarcasm. Rob, oh no. Seth has dealt with dreams in many sessions. See the 44th, the 92nd through 101st, and the 122nd through 131st sessions, among others. Seth, but after the lecture that you took from me at our last session, I do not blame you, as long as it is not carried too far. Now, as you know, among other things, dreams reflect inner expectation. For our visitors' edification, dreams are created by each individual and given actual molecular structure and reality within a different field than the one with which you are usually familiar. Dreams cannot be taken, however, as accurate descriptions of inner expectation, since too many other elements are involved. Nevertheless, the actual individual dream world created by each individual will bear a close resemblance to the physical environment, which is also created by the individual. And here we come to a subject that I mentioned briefly the other evening, and even now we will but touch upon it. There is much involved. The individual, any individual, may construct many possibilities in the dream world. Having problems in the physical world, he may attempt to solve them through working them out on a dream basis, trying various solutions. These possibilities then become actualities within the dream field. They exist as surely as they would if he acted in the same manner within the physical field. They are not myths. They are not imaginary. They do not vanish. They exist as reality within another field of actuality. Consciously, our individual may not know what he has done. Consciously, he may not even know the problems which besiege him, but which he has worked out on a subconscious level. But he will have chosen his solution, and in the physical world an event will shortly occur which will be close to a duplicate to one of those dreams which he has created. When he dreamed the dream and chose this possibility as the solution to his problems, he had already subconsciously chosen which event he would construct within the physical field. This is a rather tricky point, but an important one. The other possible solutions, however, still exist as reality within the dream field, and as such they continue unfolding. Your past material on dreams will help you on this. I suggest your break. Rob, break at 10:22. Jane was well dissociated as usual. The first part of the following material was delivered with many pauses, some of them long. When Jane sat down again and entered the trance state, she remained quite motionless, with her eyes closed, for over a minute before she began at 10:29. Seth, there was no personal connection between the three of you in past lives. There was, however, a telepathic connection. The present personality of our visitor was aware of the sessions before Philip mentioned them. I expect that the association will continue. The number 15 is an important one to our visitor. Rob notes, Jane now took a very long pause. It will be remembered that Philip is the entity name of John Bradley, who first mentioned the sessions to Lorraine. Lorraine told us later that she was not consciously aware of the existence of the session before John told her about them. She also said that the number 15 had no particular significance for her as far as she was aware. Seth mentions a period of 15 years, however, in connection with past lives for her. See page 319. Seth. Once the personality was blind, physically, and evolved a communication by means of the texture of a particular type of cloth, the hemp. He could, for he was then a male, he could, by educating his fingers, distinguish the most slightest variation of roughness and texture. He was near to being a beggar living in poverty, reaching out to passers-by and touching their garments. He could accurately tell their social and economic standing through the touch of the cloth. He sang for money or whatever was given him. He was blinded in his teens, an accident, boys playing with stones. The fingers were very sensitive, and since then he has always developed the ability to use his hands to advantage in nimble ways. He was then brawny, strident. This is the personality's first experience with being a mother. The daughter of the present personality, however, was once a sister. There were difficulties between the sisters. Now this relationship is one that irons out old difficulties. The youngest son was more the personality's father. It is any wonder that the conscious mind does not retain in one life memory of its other existences. Memory is there within the inner self. Lessons learned in the past are drawn upon. You would indeed be laden with relatives if you were aware of such past relationships. I am rather pleased with the evening's session. Indeed, I feel in rather good spirits, if you will again forgive the phrase. We will, at our next session, truly get down again to business, as far as our discussions on action are concerned. There is still much to be said here. Nor was I flattered by Rupert's surprise upon his discovery that what I told you in the past concerning your friends was coming to pass. He should have expected it. He is, if anything, more bullheaded than even I gave him credit for. And I gave him credit for a good deal of bullheadedness. Rob Notes says, see page 317. Seth, he is somewhat better than he was. He does not block me as much as he did, and our material has been coming through very well. However, he could, it seems to me, show somewhat more confidence in my ability. He certainly shows enough confidence in his own, though not in his psychic ability. Ah, here he hedges, but I will run him around that particular hedge. You may now do as you like. You may close the session, or you may take a short break and continue for a few social pleasantries. Rob, well, I think we'd better close. As usual, I didn't want Jane to become fatigued. Seth had been building up to a state of high good humor, however, and I regretted passing it up. Truth was, though, that I was getting very tired also. Seth, I will then meet with you at our regular time. May I add that when I am feeling pleasant, you should at least take advantage of it, for your own pleasure, of course, and not mine. I bid you a most fond good evening. However, I have been so concerned of late with our lessons that I have barely taken time to do more than say hello and goodbye, and I do indeed now and then feel like indulging in some more relaxed social discourse. And one of these evenings, we shall have a social time. All joking aside, I will indeed say good evening. Rob, good night, Seth. End at 11:05, Jane was well dissociated. As the session ended, she sat still with her eyes still closed. It became apparent that she was having trouble opening them. She finally made it. He didn't want to go, she said. Since her eyes appeared to want to close again, I then told her to go ahead with more dictation if she cared to. Resume at 11:08. Seth, I was hoping, Joseph, that we could have some give and take. However, I have been unfair, and I will admit it. I realize that you have been ill, and I should not tease you. It is one of my failings. So I will now leave, though with some misgivings. Rob, why? Seth, I leave out of due consideration for your convenience, to show that I can be magnanimous. My best and heartiest and final good evening to you all. Rob, good night, Seth. End at 11:11. Jane was fully dissociated, she said, really out. But as the session ended, her eyes opened promptly.